Intervju Radija Študent.
Dobrodošli, pozdravljeni v terminu RŠ Intervju. Tokrat se pogovarjamo z Danom Kaufmanom, vodjo skupine Barbes, ki nastopi nocoj v Channel Zero na Metelkovi. Ob 9:00 se odprejo vrata, ob 9:30 koncert. In pravkar smo slišali prvi komad z njihove zadnje plate Bella Ciao, ko je bila vsaj po mojem mnenju, pa po mnenju marsikoga, ena izmed izstopajočih izdaj lanskega diskografskega leta, recimo 2013. Mudijo se na evropski turneji, včeraj so bili nekje v Avstriji, naprej grejo v Italijo in Den je zdaj tukaj z nami, da nam pove nekaj o genezi tega albuma, pa o trenutni inkarnaciji Barbes in tako naprej. So, hello Den.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, it's nice to have
Mark.
You here again.
It's so nice to be back. Ljubljana is one of my favorite places, and it's great to be back.
Great. You've been also on the radio here before?
Yes, many years ago, maybe close to 10. I can't recall the exact
Which record date. Was it?
Insignificance,
maybe. Insignificance, yeah.
Yeah, it was really, and maybe I was in this room. Even.
Yeah, I think you were. Yeah,
I think so.
So how are things going with the tour? You're in the middle or
the
end? The
tour has been great so far. It's been almost 5 years since we've done an extensive tour of Europe. And we had this record that came out last year, and it's been wonderful. We've had such amazing shows, particularly in Belgium, Switzerland and Germany, and now of course we're most happy to be in Ljubljana, and we have a couple more shows after this, one in Vienna and then a couple in Italy. So
Okay, so your latest record, Bella Ciao, has a pretty interesting genesis, how it came about, and could you maybe for our listeners make a summary of it, maybe
sure.
quickly tell how it came about?
Absolutely. I was at an artist colony in New Hampshire in the United States, and I met a composer who had lived in Rome for 1 year doing a project there, working on this music related to the Jews of Rome. Mm-hmm. The Jews of Rome are the oldest Jewish community in Europe, and they predate the diaspora. So they are neither Ashkenazi nor Sephardi, which are the two main strands.
Yeah.
And they have this unique music that was kind of passed along orally through the centuries. At the beginning of the 20th century, it was almost lost because in the synagogue they stopped singing these melodies. But a man named Leo Levy, an ethnomusicologist, sought out elderly Roman Jews and had them sing these melodies and recorded them, kind of like Alan Lomax in the United
yeah.
States. So they were preserved. And I went to Rome to hear them, more mm-hmm. of them, and I fell in love with them, and I approached John Zorn, who had put out our last record, and because this had a Jewish strand, I thought he might be interested. So, and we reimagined them. While I was in Rome, I became deeply interested in the period of the occupation.
Yeah.
And I was walking, and I saw there's one street called the Via Rasella, where there was a big partisan action, and they mm-hmm. left one building that still has the bullet-ridden holes from a battle that happened right after the partisans killed about 33 Nazi soldiers marching through.
Yeah.
And so that stayed with me, and I wanted to make a kind of homage to the resistance as well. And that's where Bella Ciao, yeah. the idea to do that song, came from.
And of course you were aware that one of the stories about the origin of the song is by a Jewish composer, I guess, but it's not sure if it's
true. I think
true.
It's not true. They say it's a rice worker's song,
yeah,
but
yeah.
There's different theories, and it does sound a bit like a klezmer kind of melody.
Maybe more Russian.
Maybe Russian, yeah.
And how did, of course, now you got this also this strain about the resistance, and how did you came about including the poetry of Pier Paolo Pasolini?
Well, I've been interested in working with spoken text a lot since my last record. We created some music and as a kind of homage to Paul Celan, the poet, and
that was the previous record
called
Light.
Force of Light, and I liked working with spoken text, like the music and the text kind of interdependent and not sung, not set in a way, because it seemed to take away from the text, but I liked them kind of interacting in this way that was kind of a little bit more uncontrolled. So And I'm deeply interested in history, and I came across this poem that I just thought was so powerful by Pasolini.
Yeah.
And I was searching also for other ways to kind of pay homage, but not in such a literal way.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across this other writer whom I like very much called Alfonso Gatto, who was much less well known, but was imprisoned during the fascist time. And he wrote a lot, and he was a participant in the resistance and wrote a lot about it. And he wrote a beautiful poem called Anniversary that's also included in one of the tracks, kind of woven in a fragment of it.
Mm.
So those two pieces, but I didn't want to do the exact same thing. So mostly it's instrumental.
Yeah. And also for Pasolini, it's a poem from his earlier.
Yes.
It's earlier, his earlier period, connected to the things he experienced himself.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to ask, I know it's maybe a too heavy question, but there's seems to be a kind of continuity with Celan, which you used on the previous record. It refers to a similar period of time, different experience, of course, but maybe, could you maybe share with us a kind of personal trajectory? How do you feel these things connect, or maybe how did you came from Celan to Pasolini?
Yeah, I've always been interested in 20th century history, particularly the history in Europe, the Spanish Civil War, the Second World War, and but also interested in experimental poetry. I used to go out with a woman named Fiona Templeton, who was prominent in a group in New York called the Language Poets. And they emphasized, like a lot of French writers before them, just language for its own sake. And Ceylan was a hero to that community. And so I was searching for ways to both honor or sort of reflect on history in a musical context, but also to kind of pay homage to my experimental sensibility and to try to put both things together. And he, Ceylan was the writer like that just, I think he's the greatest poet for me of the 20th century. So, and then getting to the Pasolini, I initially resisted the idea to do something similar, but I was so moved by this poem. And it's different. It has a narrative push that just seemed to work with the music. And I felt like there was a time we were living in when people had forgotten how to be defiant. And Bella Ciao, in a time that I saw as much more difficult, people were still defiant and making their own choices to resist. And so I felt like it was a good thing, particularly for Americans, to think about, because they don't know that song or that history.
Yeah, I can tell you that here in Slovenia, a lot of us were quite impressed that you took the song Bella Ciao, which is also on the record, we have to say, in a superb arrangement. And because it resonates a lot with people here, particularly the ones who are think of themselves of partisan persuasion from the remains of the Second World War, and this song has had a kind of renaissance also here in this with the protests of the last years of the, you know, the, as you have in Occupy in New York, it was also here, and the song was, I mean, our parents knew it, our grandparents knew it, and a full number of younger, like you say, engaged people or people of left-leaning persuasion, and they kind of resuscitated this song. But this song has been present in this, especially on the Italian border. So it's I wanted this connecting to another question I want to ask you, because you take these disparate fragments of meaning and historical references, because also Ceylan, I mean, he was all about language, but he was also about the insufficiency of language and the breaking, you know. And I think you do, you combine these different influences in an almost alchemic way. You took like a Jewish melody from Rome, you took a partisan poem, and then you put, I mean, your New York sensibility and stuff. So what's your view on this? It's a lot of work, I guess.
Yes. Well, I think I'm always guided by intuition, and I see a record, making a record, almost like making a painting. Like, you take different colors of your life and different sources of inspiration, and the alchemy is a good word. The mixture of colors makes a new color. And so taking these different strands, because we also have a very much a rock aesthetic or a spirit. Bands like Swans and Die Kreuzen were very influential and important to me. So all of these things, and I couldn't, it's not like we went out with a rational intention, but they went into the subconscious and kind of came out this way, different things that I was interested in. And I like bringing different ideas to music. Like, I think music can handle and interact with history and literature in a way that I didn't want to just make another collection of songs. I wanted to tell some kind of story that was more than just that. And of course, working with Zorn, he's amazing, and always pushing to push yourself to make more of an artistic statement or something like that. So
maybe also emphasizing maybe the broader context of
that.
I mean, you probably couldn't do a neutral reprise of Jewish melodies from Rome.
I don't think you'd be interested in that. No.
But it's still like, I mean, most of us, I don't know if anyone knows the originals you used, but I was surprised how much Barbès-like it sounds in the end.
Yeah, I mean, we changed them a lot.
I don't know the technique you used, but...
but it's a secret.
Yeah. I guess. But maybe, what was your approach? I mean...
Well, I would say that it was guided by intuition, but like there would be different melodies that I would have that I particularly spoke to me. Mm-hmm. And I might just take a fragment. Some portions only have just a fragment of the melody. It might be tucked away in the bass line for that section, but somehow out of that I could organically move the song to a different section and then maybe come back to that little fragment of the bass line and put it in the theremin melody or something like that. So there was no orthodoxy. I decided I can't do these things literally. It wouldn't be meaningful. But I wanted to take them as material to honor them, but also to... I wanted it to be a Barbès record. I mean, I wanted it to speak our language and also to the people that come to our concerts and that kind of community. It wasn't going to be a liturgical, you know, kind of presentation. But I used them as a way to... as a launching off point, and also as a way to pay homage, because the Roman Jews suffered a lot during the Holocaust. They were deported, about 2,000 of them, 1,000 of them in a particularly kind of horrific roundup.
It was connected also to the partisan action you were mentioning? Or not?
That was separate. That was just about 3 weeks after the Germans took control of Rome. They asked them to gather 50 kilograms of gold, and if they did that, they would be spared. And somehow they came up with it. It was actually quite a poor community, and some of the Romans very movingly came and donated anonymously. They came up with the gold, but of course it didn't matter. And about 1,000 of them were rounded up. Of those, only 16 returned from Auschwitz, basically. Mm-hmm. So, but the partisan action was a bit later than that. Yeah. But in relation to that, the retaliation was a famous massacre, infamous massacre at the caves outside Rome, the Fosse Ardeatine.
The catacombs.
The catacombs. Yeah. And they took 10 Italians for each German that was killed, men and boys, and killed them there. So. Very light subject.
Yeah, no, of course it's not, and never was. Yeah. But I just wanted to tell you, maybe even more specific, how do you view the fact that this is it's music of a community, but it's also liturgical music and connected to the Jewish clergy, we could say.
Yeah.
And how do you, it's another gesture of yours to use melodies of this and use partisan poetry, which you, of course, it could be contradictory or not. What's your view on this?
I guess I'm just a heterodox person. I don't like orthodoxy. I just kind of move towards in a river of things that move me. The fact that they're liturgical melodies, that was the musical language that existed for the Jews. There was no real secular music going that way. So I feel like devoid of the lyric, it's just the music of this community. And there is a religious and spiritual connotation, but that could be widely interpreted. Yeah. I don't think
we could also say that Bella Ciao has a religious sentiment.
To me, more so, it's the feeling of community with other people, and the feeling of that song is one I get chills, because they did actually sing it in Occupy, one group, and even at the Climate March in New York recently. And I think it's for the whole world. It's a song of defiance somehow. And I just felt like there was a time when people were, it seems a little better now in some ways, the opposition, but people were just kind of taking it, you know? And it, you know, that song is such a great rebellious song.
Yeah, I know as a fact there's churches in northern Italy where it is sung.
Yes.
By priests.
It's interesting. Yeah. My friend Fabrizio told me that there's a couple of communities operated by where the government is right wing, where during the commemoration of the liberation of Italy, they have forbidden the singing of Bella Ciao, which is really disturbing.
Yeah. So. And one thing, yeah, and now we're talking all about this, like, historical aspect,
yes,
and also your interest in the resistance. But how would you situate your artistic opus in a way that it's clearly political, because everything is political, but maybe it's a bit more complex than just it could be activist in a way, but how do you? I know that you write on this stuff, so maybe have some.
I do write some journalism, but I love to rock too. I mean, for me, the music itself is just this pure human endeavor, and it has a lot of higher value, and it also has a really primal value. And so, a lot of the bands that inspired me as a young age had no obvious political content, but yet doing it was political, and I also like to leave ambiguity for the listener, and that's why a lot of the tracks are, the statement is in the music itself, and it's open to interpretation.
Okay, great. Maybe for the last question, maybe something more connected to this evening's concert. Could you tell us what is the current incarnation of Barbet
Life
and the program and what?
Well, we have, you know, like a lot of New York bands, there's always a little bit of, you know, trying to work with what you can. And we have a great band. Ken Thompson is playing. He's also in a wonderful band called Cut Bucket, and he plays in Bang on a Can in New York.
Oh, they were here, I guess.
Oh, yeah. And he's playing bass clarinet and B-flat clarinet and glockenspiel. I'm playing guitar. My dearest friend, John Bollinger, is playing drums. He's been with me for like 10 years. And Andrew Jones is playing bass and sampler. And then it's been amazing, very cohesive and tight little group that and we've been developing it over the past week and a half, and we're excited to bring
it. So now you're well played.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're ready for Channel Zero, just barely, but we will be ready.
Okay. Right. So thank you, Dan.
Thank you very much, Marco. Thank you to all the listeners. It's really truly one of our favorite places on earth to visit and to play, and it's a wonderful country.
Nice to hear. So I will just finish with an invitation in Slovene to all the listeners to come. So see you at the concert.
Okay.
Tako, to je bil Dan Kaufman in Barbes. Ogromno zanimivih stvari nam je povedal, ampak glavna stvar je pa koncert, seveda danes večer. Pridite, ob 9:30 se začne, ob 9:00 so vrata, pa je, da vse skupaj je tako usklajeno, da tisti, ko bo želeli obiskati še Defonijo, ko se dogaja v klubu Gromka, bo jim to tudi uspelo, ker bo verjetno začela lihko, se bojo Barbe skončali. Tako da, to je bilo to z naše strani. Intervju sem pripravil Marko, zdaj pa za konec še naslovni komad Bella Ciao. Dio.
Intervju Radija Študent.
You're tuned to Radio Student.